unusual portion of Scripture. This is in a time of grace. The Lord has already come and died on the cross, rose again, ascended back to the Father. Now the church is just in its early stages. And it says a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not in your power? Why hast you conceived this thing in your heart, that you have not lied to man, but you have lied to God? Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things, and the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, and tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. And she fell down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her with her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Father, we just thank you once again, Lord, for your word today. God, for your presence in this place, Lord. There's no price that we can put on that, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing, Lord, in the lives of your people, Lord. Every time we come in here, God, you begin to do, you're doing more for us, and that's what we want. Lord, you're doing more for us and with us so that you can do more through us. And Lord, that's what we want today, God. Just speak to us through your word. Give us relevant revelation. We're going to claim it together in Jesus' name. You know, we read this, and it's an unusual portion of Scripture here. Now, in the early stages of the church, something like this would happen. You know, this is a time when we are under the dispensation of grace. You know, grace is that unmerited favor. You know, they're not living under the law anymore, but yet at the same time, they come in here, and you've got two of these that are basically followers. These are believers. But yet they decide to conceive and, you know, contrive together, a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, and they decide that they're going to come in. And what has been happening here, the Lord has been blessing the church in such a great way that there were people that were selling their land and bringing it to the church and laying that down and giving it to the church so that they could use that, you know, to help the poor and help the widows and just to be a blessing. And so Ananias and Sapphira come in and give the appearance that they have sold their land for so much and given everything to God. Well, we have to understand that this is all happening in conjunction with opposition to the church being birthed and growing after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The church is really going through a great period here. What's it say here in chapter 2? Let me read. And with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, say, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed together had all things in common. They sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men, as every man had a need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They're having a great revival at this time. And the enemy knows this, church, and he wants to do something that he can to stop it. There's been healings and miracles. Peter and John came down to the gate beautiful, and a man that had been laying there, that had been lame, all of a sudden they came upon him, and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he gets up and he begins to walk. And immediately the Pharisees around them and the scribes and the religious leaders get together and begin to take Peter and John and begin to threaten them, you know, and tell them that don't speak in that name anymore, that name of Jesus. And they begin to threaten them. They came back and they told the church what was going on. All this is coming together here, trying to put a stop to what God was doing. Well, here in Acts chapter 5, opposition by Satan filling the hearts of this man and his wife to lie about the land that they sold. Satan knows the consequences, church, of lying to the Spirit and hoping that it would do damage to the church and to the move of God. You know, if somebody starts dropping dead in church, that could give, you know, the church a bad name. Bad appearance. That's not a good look, you know, if people start dropping dead. So I start thinking about the extremes, you know, that Satan will go to create chaos. We as a church today, you know, we are at odds with that same kind of spirit, with Satan's devices. And how that, what comes out of our mouths at times. See, this is what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. They come there and they lie to the Spirit. You know, and what comes out of our mouth sometimes, church, has that same kind of power to produce. How many ever found yourself in a, you know, maybe a moment of chaos, maybe in your home or maybe in a personal relationship with somebody, and you said the wrong thing that made things worse? Nobody's ever done that. Okay. You know, like, you know, just at the, you said the wrong thing at the wrong time. Instead of making, you, maybe you tried to make things better. Maybe you thought you were going to come in there and be a peacemaker, and you ended up saying the wrong thing. Well, Proverbs 18 said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Oh, that's talking here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So what is in the heart comes out of the mouth and produces good or bad things. Now, we've already decided, haven't we, that this is going to be the most productive year we've ever had here at Grace Tabernacle. We believe in church that God, and we're seeing it happen. We're seeing God beginning to produce things, and I believe that the best is yet to come. This is only the month of May, is that right? I haven't messed up. Okay. We're still in. Tomorrow. I knew we were close. We're still in April. See? January, February, March, April. Just think about that, church. So we've still got some time left. This is going to be the most productive. I believe by the end of this year, we're going to stand back here, church, in awe at what God has done. Oh, come on, somebody. But if that's going to happen, we better start speaking the right things. You know, we can't sow onions and expect corn. Come on, somebody. We can't speak the bad things, you know, go through every day speaking bad things and expecting good things to happen. You know, it wasn't the fact that Ananias sold the land and didn't give everything to God. He lied to God saying that he gave everything. You know, this was pride, of course, wanting to look like a big shot. Caused him to speak the wrong thing that produced a terrible outcome that Satan orchestrated, hopefully trying to hinder the growth of the church. But you know what? It's the same reason he's behind much of the, you know, the fear and the doubt and the unbelief and a lot of times the negative, you know, words or the complaining that comes out of the mouth of the church today. You know, we got to see it, church, and a lot of times we don't see it. We just go right along with it and start, you know, wake up on a Monday morning and just start speaking, oh, woe is me, you know, and all this stuff. But it's good. If we're not careful, it will hinder our growth. I don't want anything to hinder the growth of this church, do you? No. So you got to leave here and you got to have a good word. Come on, somebody. You got to speak a good word. You got to walk out of here and you got to be, you know, patient. Maybe sometimes the people that you don't want to be patient with are kind or, you know, or understanding. Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So it begins to tell me here, this is what's, you know, what comes out of our mouth is in our heart, but it's telling us here whatsoever man thinketh. So it starts really in the mind. The things that you start thinking on will begin to fill up your heart. If you start, you know, thinking upon that big, beautiful new house that you want, all of a sudden it's going to get in your house, in your heart, and that's all you're going to be talking about. I want that, I want that, I want that. Well, you know what? What comes out of the mouth will produce good or bad, right or wrong. A lot of what we think comes by way of what we see. Somebody listening? Comes by what we, you know, a lot of times, but, you know, what we think on comes by the things that we're seeing. We were talking to men's breakfast today about some of the things that you got to turn away from. That you don't want to focus on those things. Somebody listening to me. If all you're going to do is sit there all day long and focus on negative things, on bad things that are happening in your life or happening all around this world or happening in Ponca City, right, then it's going to get in your heart and it's going to come out of your mouth. That's why the Bible said, think on those things that are good, those things that are pure, those things that are holy, those things that are a good example. Let's think on those things, you know, because it's going to get into the heart and come out of your... I heard a story one time, I was reading it, about this young couple in Southern California, and they were out one day, this young guy and his wife, and they were out one day, and they were just taking a walk through the field, and all of a sudden they come across these mushrooms. And they thought, we need to pick those and go home and cook them and have some friends over. So that's what they did. They went down and they picked up these mushrooms and they went home and they cooked them and they had some friends over. They were just having a great time and all of a sudden their cat came in and they gave their cat some of the mushrooms. And they went out and they were just kind of, you know, talking and everything and they came back in and all of a sudden they looked down and the cat was laying on the kitchen floor and the cat was foaming at the mouth and just kind of, you know, panting for breath and trying to get it. So immediately they called the vet. And the vet told them that everybody that ate those mushrooms needed to go to the hospital right now and have your stomach pumped. So everybody that was in the house, they went to the hospital and they went into emergency and told them what had happened and they all had their stomach pumped and they came home. And when they came home, they found the cat with a litter of kittens. What they thought were death pains were really birth pains. Somebody listen to me. They went to the hospital and had their stomach pumped for nothing. Can you imagine coming back and then finding a litter of kittens? They were convinced it was death pains when actually, in reality, it was birth pains. Acts chapter 5, what looked like death pains were actually birth pains. Somebody know what I mean? The church was growing and birthing. Church was going through a great period, you know, but there's times that you got to get rid of certain things that's going to hinder your growth. Somebody listen. Ananias and Sapphira, they had the wrong attitude. And if they didn't get rid of that, it was going to breed in the church and begin to disrupt in those seeing and hearing and thinking and speaking the wrong things. See, that's the same kind of thing, church, that we deal with a lot of times. It's that same kind of thing, you know, that I believe that God wants us to begin to understand. You know, some of the difficult things that we go through, they look like death. And they cause us to speak and produce the wrong things. But in reality, a lot of times, they're birth pains. They look like death pains, which all of a sudden cause us to begin to complain, and you know, because things are not going the way that we think that they should by the way that they look. How many know what I'm talking about? Some things in your life right now, maybe it looks like, you know, death to you. Well, Pastor, it's just not going the way that it looks like right now. It's not going the way that it should look. It looks like my vision is dying. My dream is dying. It looks like, you know, there's... How many got some things you're praying for? It looks like, you know, maybe that's not going to happen. Maybe all of a sudden what you're praying for is getting worse. Anybody ever have one of those? The man that brought his son to Jesus one day and said, Lord, I need you to heal him. He's got a devil. And he said, Jesus said, bring him to me. And as they were bringing him to Jesus, he falls on the ground and just begins to carry. It looked like it had gotten worse. Many times, you know, church, that's the way that it is. And it will appear like it's death pains when actually it's birth pains. You're going through it. Let me tell you something. My wife had three sons, and she went through an ordeal with all three of them. And I was right in there with her, you know, encouraging her. When I found out we were going to have our first son, you know, I thought it was like the 1950s. I thought I was going to get to go in the father's waiting room and just, you know, pace. And she said, well, they don't do things like that anymore. You have to come in there with me. And I said, in where? Into the birthing room. Anybody know what I mean? See that, and this is in church. I went through an experience. You know, they put us through training. They sent us to classes. You know, so we would learn how to go in there to prepare us for, you know, for what we were going to do. My wife had books. She had a book, What to Expect When You Are Expecting. I preached a message on it. What to expect when you're expecting. You know, see, church, that's kind of the way that it is right here at church, in Grace Tabernacle. God is birthing some great things here. We're about to birth some new things, some things we've never seen before. Isn't that right? And God is preparing us, church, you know, basically giving us a little crash course, what to expect when you're expecting. Because a lot of times it will look like death pains. Believe me, when I finally went in there with my wife, I thought we were all dying. Because I thought if she's going, she's probably going to take me with her. I made the mistake, you know, I thought we had time, and I came in there, and I was just kind of, you know, taking it easy, eating my regular sandwich with onions on it. She's in labor, and all of a sudden she says, who's eating onions? I don't know who that is, but boy, they better cut it out. Some of you have been through it. You know what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of times, church, it may look like death pains, but it's birth pains. So what God is trying to bring about, you know, in our lives. But we misunderstand that, and the next thing you know, we're misinterpreting it. We're speaking the wrong thing over it. Come on, somebody. We're complaining about it. You know, we just had 4 days of rain. Anybody remember that? Just had 4 days of rain. And this is something that God began to speak to me about, see, using the rain that we had for 4 days, because for 4 days I was speaking the wrong thing. I was misinterpreting. I went to Mexico years ago, you know, and I went there for the first time, and I preached. There must have been 1,000 people there. And I was preaching, and right in the middle of my preaching, there was a bunch of people that got up and started coming to the front. And I thought that my interpreter misinterpreted. Because I thought people, either they were coming to get rid of me or they were leaving the building. I didn't realize what they were doing. They were coming and coming down and kneeling at the altar and giving their hearts to the Lord. I hadn't even finished yet. But do we understand, a lot of times, church, that's the problem that we have with birth pains. That's the problem that we have, church, when God is trying to do something new and fresh in your life. We look at it like something terrible is going on. Because you're going through a difficult time. You're going through it. Believe me, when my wife went through that, church, it was a difficult time. She went through the first one, I think it was 24 hours in labor. And there are times, church, that we go through 24 hours. We go through 24 days. Sometimes, church, we go through 24 years before you're able to produce what God has originally designed for you to produce. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Your destiny. But when we complain, church, and we murmur, and we bellyache, we can be misinterpreting what God is doing. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Just because it doesn't look the way that you want it to look or you think that it should look. Pastor, I don't understand this. You told me, you know, that God was going to bless us and everything was, you know, he's going to make us a blessing. And right now, I don't have enough to bless anybody with. But we have to be careful, because if we're misinterpreting, if we're speaking the wrong thing over, that could be what's hindering that birth from taking place. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You could be hindering what God is trying to do. So now, what are you thinking, Pastor? Well, I think, church, that no matter what we're going through, somebody should still have a praise on their lips. Oh, Lord, it doesn't look like the way I think it should look. Oh, but I believe, God, that the best is yet to come. I believe that you saved the best for last. I believe that what's coming my way is going to be worth everything that I'm going through. Start praising him, church. I believe you get through the whole, like it could be like your spiritual epidural. Is that okay? You start praising God, you feel better. How many's ever gone through something and you were able to praise God and you just start feeling better immediately? It's like a spiritual, you just numb that pain with the praise from God. You might have to force yourself. I remember when my wife got her first one, that she had, they had her curl up in a ball. And they come up and they go and stick it in her back. She can't see it. She said, is it big? It was that long. I thought, I told her, no, it's okay. If it was me, it would be too big. You're going to be all right. But all of a sudden, you know, that labor pain that she was going through, it subsided. You know, that's what praise will do for you. Somebody start praising God, and all of a sudden, I believe, church, that it will help you in your delivery. Until you're able to bring forth what God has for you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody expected something good from God? Woo! Right now, it don't look so hot. Right now, it don't look so good. So it's got you speaking the wrong things over that rain for 4 days. And yet, finally, God, you know, speaks to you and reassures you. You know what? You can't see it now, but that rain's good for you. Somebody help me. After it's all over, you know, I look out there and the grass is so beautiful, green. All the burnt places is gone. Boy, I just love that. All the 4 days, you know, but God used those 4 days in that rain and what was coming out of my mouth to speak this word this morning. See, but no matter what it may look like this morning, church, you need to start speaking good things. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Well, Pastor, how can we tell the difference? If something looks good to us and we think on it and we want it and we speak it, and if it's not good for us, because you may be speaking over that house that you like, and all of a sudden, you know, oh, I see that house. I'm thinking about that house. It's coming out of my mouth. I want that house. I want that. Yet you don't realize with that house goes a lot of things. There may be yearly taxes on that place. They never thought about that. Well, that house may have some problems that you don't know about. Maybe some plumbing things there. I went into a house one time and looked at it, and there had three bathrooms. All three bathrooms had no toilets. The toilets had been taken out. They didn't want nobody coming in there and flushing those toilets and realizing they may have had a problem with the plumbing. Somebody know what I mean. But yet I want that house. I want that house anyway. What if something looks bad? You know, we think it's bad. We speak bad things over it and something, you know, that God meant for our good. How do we know the difference? Well, you got the Holy Spirit. And he's discerning with Peter that you've gone and this is something in your life that is corrupting what God is trying to do. So the Holy Spirit will do that. The Holy Spirit will discern those things, church. in our life. But also God's given us the word. I like what it says over here in Hebrew 4. Listen to this. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder and soul and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's word shows us what we can and what we should have and should be in Christ. The right and the wrong, the good and the bad, how to think, how to believe, how to speak, how to live. What's God's church and what it is Satan? And the power that we have to produce the right things. This all comes from the word of God. So this is why, church, it's so important for you to get in the word of God and to get the right mind. Somebody know what I mean? Instead of going by what you think or what you feel or how it looks, get in the word of God and allow the word of God to discern what is right and what is wrong. Because I got a feeling, church, you're going to open it up and God's going to tell you to allow you to allow him to have his will and his way in your life. No matter what it looks like, hold on, because God's not done yet. And what is it? And I'm reading this, church, in Ephesians. Look what it says over here in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, standing, having your loins girt with the truth, on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Come on, somebody. You notice everything else is defensive, but the word of God is offensive. Your faith is defensive. Your faith keeps the enemy from, you know, having his way in your life. No, I believe God. Come on, somebody. The enemy's coming and he's trying to have his way. No, I believe God. That's faith. I believe what God said. But the word of God is an offensive weapon. The word of God, church, you're able to take it. You're able to use the word of God against the enemy. Wait a minute, devil. I know what you're saying, but here's what God says. No matter what you say about me being sick and about me dying, my Bible tells me that I shall not die but live. My Bible tells me that he's still my healer. My Bible tells me that by his stripes I am healed. Come on, somebody. Bible says, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them lay hands upon them and anoint them with the oil and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Come on, somebody. The devil will tell you, church, that you're never going to have any more than what you have right now. But my Bible tells me that I'm going to be blessed going in, coming out. So I use that against him. Is that okay? Use the word of God against the enemy. That's your sword of the Spirit. And it goes on and it says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. That means, church, that we have power through prayer. Come on, somebody. Not just the word, but power through prayer. Isn't that where we have our relationship with God? Through his word, through that wonderful power of prayer, that we should be praying every day. Yes. And here tells me, church, that we shouldn't just be praying for us, but we should be praying for all saints. We should be praying for other people. We should be praying for the church. Don't just stop at what you have need of, because some of you, that could take 5 minutes, or some of you could take 5 hours. Because a lot of you got things you know you're wanting to see happen, and you've got need. But take somebody, God's wanting you to, anyway. Listen to what I was reading here. I'm trying to hurry. But listen to what I was reading in Psalm 28 the other day. And it just kind of really began to speak to me. Psalm 28, David began to say, he said, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their heart. Give them according to their deeds, according to the works of the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my... Did you hear this? Now, I want you to notice something. In verse 2, he said, hear the voice of my supplication. But as he's praying, in verse 6, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. Look at the change that comes in, that starts coming out of David's mouth. Look at the change, church, in what comes out of his mouth through prayer. He starts off praying, Lord, hear the voice of my supplication. And in the midst of this prayer here, he's at a point where blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. Amen. Well, just think about that. There's a change that's coming over him as he's praying. Do we understand, church, the power of prayer to actually begin to change what's coming out of your mouth? So when you get those destructive thoughts, you know, a lot of times people will have something that, you know, a destructive thought that maybe comes and goes. How many's ever, it's crossed my mind. You know what that means? There's actually a definition for that, to think on something for a short time, passing thought. Oh, it crossed my mind to run them off the road. It crossed my mind to kill the dogs. Come on, somebody. All they do is bark. Cross my mind. You gotta be careful, see, because you can't think on that because it's getting in your heart and it'll start coming out of your mouth, and that's all you think about. That's all, I'm gonna kill them dogs. You won't be satisfied until they're dead. Quiet in here. So when you get one of those destructive thoughts that cross your mind, you know what, church? This is before that thing gets in your heart and starts coming out your mouth and begins to hinder what God is trying to birth in your life, start praying. Somebody with me? Lord, help me not to think those things. We were talking today in men's breakfast about some of the things that you can look upon that you know you shouldn't look upon, and immediately the wrong thoughts will enter your mind. But if you continue to think on it, if you allow yourself to continue to think on something that you know you shouldn't have looked at to begin with, and then you're just thinking on it and thinking on it until it gets in your heart and it starts producing in your life. Somebody know what I'm talking about. But before the church, you allow those destructive thoughts to have their way in your life and begin to produce bad things in your life or to hinder the great birthing things that God is trying to bring about in your life. Do you know what, church? Start praying. Because David's got a problem here with some people. And he's talking about people. He's praying about them. Give them according to their deeds. There's some people here that have brought him to a place that he's praying. God, please hear the voice of my supplication. By the time, church, that he's halfway through this in verse 6, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. That prayer that he prayed began to change the things that were coming out of his mouth. Amen. Do you know what I'm talking about? See, church, if you get into a place of prayer on a daily basis, some of the things that you pray will begin to change. You won't come to God like that anymore, or maybe in the midst of while you're praying, all of a sudden you remember what Pastor said. There was a story about the old little lady that came down to the altar one day, and she said, she was saying, please, Jesus, please, Jesus. And the preacher walked over to her and he said, you know what? Start thanking Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. She still had the same attitude, but a new word was coming out of her mouth. But that new word will change that attitude. Somebody listen to me? And listen to what he says here. He said, blessed be, because he had heard the voice of, at first he's saying, Lord, hear my voice. Now he's saying, he has heard my voice. So when you get into that place, you'll know that things are changing between you and God. You're growing in God when all of a sudden you're saying, Lord, I know you're going to heal my body. I know, Lord, you're going to bless my family. I know you're going to save those lost ones. I know that you're going to get a hold of my kids. I know that you're going to change my home. I believe it, Lord. I know what you're about to do in my church. I know that Grace Tabernacle is about to see some great things. You go from saying, Lord, please. Lord, would you please have mercy on me? To saying, Lord, your words declare that your mercy is renewed every day. Well, somebody get this with me. So, and I believe, church, what did David say? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. So what those things, that those words that changed while he was praying, all of a sudden, they begin to produce something that changed his situation. He said, I trusted, start praying, and watch things, church, the right things start coming out of your mouth. My heart trusted it. Even when the ear and the eye and the mind wants to deceive you, come on, somebody. Start praying. Start believing. Listen to what Jesus began to make it plain, church, in Mark chapter 11. Oh, he made it real easy for us. He said, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. Whatsoever things that you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall and you shall receive them. He prayed. He said, my heart trusted in him and I am helped. It birthed what was right in his life. Things began to change. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Oh, I believe this morning, church, God is trying to speak a word to Grace Tabernacle. I believe, church, that he's already placed it in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits. This is going to be the most productive year we've ever had. So to see those things begin to take place, God's wanting to do some work in our lives. He's wanting to start, church, with maybe some of the things that we put our eyes on, that we focus on some of the things that after that, that we, if we focus on the good things, church, and start thinking on those and get those in our heart and it starts coming out of mind, I believe that we're going to start producing some good things. Anybody else? And if you start focusing on the wrong things, I believe after this you're going to know it. You're going to recognize, you're going to notice, hey, wait a minute, I don't think I should be focusing on that. I don't think I should be focusing on how people treat me. So what are you going to do? I'm going to start praying about it. You know what? I'm not going to focus on what my neighbor said. I'm not going to focus on what the wife said. Help me. It was just one of those things that's crossed my mind to retaliate, but Lord, you can start off, Lord, help me. Next thing you know, the Lord helped me. He made a change, starting with what started coming out of my mouth. I like that when David said, Lord, hear my voice. And then before he was even done praying, he said, the Lord has heard my voice. Can we get to that point, church? How many's ready to walk out of here and begin to produce some good things? Yeah. Oh, Pastor, I know what it's going to take. I know that it might take me not complaining the way I've been complaining. Maybe some of you complained that you had to come to church today. Oops. Maybe some of you are like me for 4 days. 4 days. I hate the rain. I hate rain. You see what happened, church? I spent 30 years in Arizona. I got used to sunshine. Quiet here. But isn't that the way that it is with the Lord? When you come to Jesus and you give him your life and your heart and you begin to live for him, nothing else is going to satisfy you. Nothing else is going to be the same. You know, there's nothing like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. We come to a point, church, and we begin to recognize that. And even when you begin to have those, the wrong thoughts and the wrong things start coming out of your mouth, isn't it a wonderful thing, church, to have a God like we have that will point those things out? Wait a minute, I want to fix this because I'm trying to produce something good in somebody's life. God's going to do some good things in this place, whether we like it or not. Whether the devil likes it or not. How about that? He's going to come against this church, but we know what he's doing. We know what, and we know what the things, church, that we need to be on guard of. I mean, he's ready for the Lord to change some things in your life. Bow your heads with me real quick. Father, Lord, Lord, you've given us the ability through the Holy Spirit and through your word to discern the right things. To think, to believe, to speak, to produce. Lord, we want to produce good things. Lord, we want to be that city that's set on a hill. We want to be a good example to those around us. Lord, we want good things to take place in our life. Stand your feet with me all over the building if you can. But Lord, this morning, maybe there's those in this place that have gone through some struggles, gone through some rain, been speaking the wrong thing. Recognize this morning that, God, that's going to hinder what I produce. If I speak the wrong things, I'm going to produce bad things. Lord, this morning, if I focus on you, if I get my mind on you, if I get that word down in here and it gets in my heart and it starts coming out my mouth, things are going to change. My home's going to be healed. My life's going to get better. My body's going to change. Those around me, I'm going to be blessed. Father, this morning I recognize that, Lord, that the power of death and life is in the tongue. I know what comes out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Yes. Lord, this morning, what we need, God, here at Grace Tabernacle, Lord, you're ready to do some great things for us. Go be the most productive year we've ever had. Lord, we speak of that, and we're claiming that right now. But Lord, there may be some things you want to take care of right now. Maybe there's some things in our life that are kind of like Ananias and Sapphira, the wrong things are in our heart and coming out of the mouth. Lord, and we don't want that. Lord, you want to get rid of that so that the church could go on and be blessed, so that I can go on and fulfill my destiny, the things that you have for me. Lord, I'm going to, even right now, there may be those of you standing right here with me this morning, and you say, Pastor, you've been talking to me. I've been allowing the enemy to put the wrong thoughts in my mind, and it's gotten in, and it's come out of my mouth. I've allowed the enemy to put the wrong things, to put the wrong words in my mouth and to bring those things out. And those words are destructive instead of constructive. I've been speaking things that are hindering what my production or hindering what God's wanting to do in my life, and I don't want that anymore. Come on, somebody, make up your mind right now. Lord, I want you to make a change right now in me. Lord, on what I focus on and what I think on and what gets down on the inside and starts coming out of my mouth. Lord, I want it to be you. I want it to be your word. I want it to begin to produce good things in my life. Yes. I don't want to do anything or speak anything that's going to hinder what you're trying to do. If the enemy's trying to place those things in my life and trying to put those things in my mind and trying to get me to think on those things, so I begin to speak on those things. And Lord, I reject that right now. I resist the devil. He's got to flee. Somebody start praying with me right there where you're standing. Start coming against those things right now. Lord, we come against those things right now. Lord, you are still my healer. Lord, you are still, somebody start speaking something different. Lord, I'm still blessed. Lord, you're still my healer. Lord, I'm still the head and not the tail. No matter what the devil, no matter what it looks like right now, it's not death pains, it is birth pains. Lord, you are doing something in my life. Even this morning, you're birthing something new in my life by what comes out of my mouth. You're putting something in me right now, Lord, that's going to change what's coming out of my mouth. Lord, even as I'm praying right now, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, in a different, positive way. Lord, you are still my God. You are still my healer. You are still my provider. You are still my soon coming King. No matter what the world looks like right now, I know that you, Jesus, is coming soon.